Good afternoon. This is another episode of Nerds Who In A Movie Podcast. This is your host, Noah Tween. Thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be a very great episode of the podcast. I am going to be doing two reviews of comic books from creator friends of mine, so that's going to be interesting. First, I wanted to start by talking about what happened in 2023, and this is being the first episode of 2024, basically what we're going to be talking about moving forward. This is a multi-fandom podcast. We do a lot of different things on here where we talk about wrestling, movies, TV shows, comic books, you name it. So if that's something you're interested, please give me a follow. If not, not your tea. Understandably so. That's okay. I know a lot of people focus really deep down hard on their type of content, and that's what helps the algorithms, but that's not who I am. So I'm going to either break the algorithms or die trying. So last year in 2023, I got a little bit too bogged down in the recording, the collecting aspect of comic books and things like that. And I think that took me away from a lot of what I enjoy doing the most, which is reading content, doing comic book reviews, and talking to creators and things like that. So I'm going to be moving away from the collector's side a lot more, and be going to be doing less breakdowns of TV shows and stuff like that, because I feel inherently it went, while I was giving information about the connections to the, you know, the comic books, it was almost more of a, like, hey, go get these books type thing. And I think that took me away from a lot of the stuff that I really loved doing when I first started. So today I'm going to do reviews of two comic books that came out from creator friends of mine. The Last Doctor, written by John Velez, and Jane American, written by Jason Douglas. These are two great titles, and I feel like a lot of people are now moving away from the mainstream Marvel and DC, and focusing more on small creators and people who are just making great content. So it's definitely great to see a lot of people I respect making comic books as well as I am. But let's get started. So The Last Doctor, the Ashcan, debuted at LA Comic-Con this past year in 2023. I am so proud of him. He beat me to publishing. But had a convention exclusive before I did, but more on that before the end of the show. It is published by Sovereign Comics. It was limited to 100 with a cover done by the interior artist Bryce Yizagiri. I hope I said that right. Written by close friend of the program, John Velez, and lettering by Tyrone Jackson, who also is a letterer for my Ashcan, Here Walks Monsters. So it's definitely a crew that I respect and like, for sure. So let's talk about The Last Doctor. Dive into the riveting world of The Last Doctor, where doctors are on the verge of a breakthrough cure against the virus that has been ravaging the world. However, what happens when those with the virus do not want to be cured? What happens when they become too accustomed to their new way of life? Join Dr. Michelin, John's going to kill me if I said that wrong, on her journey as The Last Doctor. First off, Bryce's artwork is very sharp, and it gives this book a weird, frightening presence. It has this dark feel to it. It really, I mean, I've been a fan of Bryce's work since his Good Boy Volume 1 exclusive with Duffy Boys Comics. Shout out to Duffy, another friend of the podcast. So to see him working with another one of my close friends and John really gets me excited for the rest of this title. The lettering, of course, is top notch, as to be expected. As I stated previously, you know, Tyrone is also my letterer, and I know his ability, but I really liked what he did with this title. There are certain use of color that puts a fearful emphasis on certain words, and you can read it in like the right tone, which is an overlooked part of the comic book process, is the lettering. Lettering is really big. I've said that previously on this podcast about, you know, how I ended up pushing my comic book back a year because I had to get a letterer to come in and redo it. The lettering is it does so much more than just, you know, written words on the page. It conveys tone, context, you know, a lot more too. I mean, a good letterer can make the words just jump right off the page and almost take on a life of their own. when it's done right, and you know, it can take a really good book to be a really great title all the way to the next level. Go take a look at some of Dave Lent's work on Good Boy. The story literally is brought to the next level because of Dave's work. Like, it really adds so much gravitas to the words on the page. And that's a big thing in the books. When you're reading it, you got to realize that some people need to, they can't just assume we'll understand the context. So the lettering really gives that to the reader. And it's, we'll get back to Dave in a minute because, in a little bit, because, you know, he's maybe working on another title. But back to The Last Doctor. And this Ashcan has so much meat in so few pages. Like, it gives you an entry world into this world, this post-apocalyptic world, by showing the destroyed world on page one and then telling a flashback right to the first moments when the virus turned into the doom of society. It's very interesting in a genre like a post-apocalyptic or horror even. There are still clever ways to reinvent it and tell new stories with the same similar elements and not just be another post-apocalyptic story. There are always going to be those similar elements, you know, a tragic event, the downfall of society, but here comes this title, The Last Doctor, with the focus on this Last Doctor who is on the verge of a breakthrough, which is your main character. There are not many, and the main character is a female. There are not many horror titles that would put a woman as the main character. You know, I've spoken about this on the podcast before regarding the stereotypes with women in the majority of horror titles. You know, they're usually the person who they have sex and then they die. You know, that's just kind of what happens in a lot of horror titles. So when you have someone like John putting the female at the focal point of this post-apocalyptic story, it's definitely bold and is going to pay off because it's going to set his book apart from just any other, you know, post-apocalyptic story. Because again, most cases, you know, you got like The Walking Dead, you know, you got Rick, you've got Shane, you've got the Governor. Most of the big characters are males. I mean, there are big, you know, like Michonne and things like that, but the main characters are usually men in horror stories because they're the ones that survive. So, like, same with me, I personally put a man, yes, but he was a short man, which is mostly discredited by most forms of entertainment, and a woman as the main characters of mine, because those are not the characters you usually see surviving a post-apocalyptic event, you know, in most renditions of a post-apocalyptic story. So it's definitely one of those things where you look at it differently, and thankfully it kind of has its own individual feel to it, even if it's not a new genre. You know what I mean? Like, it has a fresh take. And in horror, when there's so many types of post-apocalypses and horror movies and properties, you gotta come with something a little different. It can't just be the same thing. And this Last Doctor definitely isn't just one of those. And I'll say this, this Ashcan kind of hooked me in from the very beginning, but the last two pages of the Ashcan are what the sinker was. So there's this one scene, I'm not going to get too much into it because I don't want to spoil it. I want you to read it yourself. But one of the people says, "Sir, what can we do?" And they're talking to this person who basically appears to have created the virus and literally just got punched in the face. And then the ultimate realization that this is the moment when the world ended and the grim fate of those in the future that were really about to happen. And he just looks, "We prepare for the end of life as we know it, we prepare for whatever is left." And that just resonated with me when I read that. It was just like, wow. This doctor knew that he effed up, and what we all knew is over. Now what's left? And then one of the very last things that is said in this book really has a like a ringing tone through, you know, pop, like big time quotes. And like T.S. Eliot said, most of the evil in the world is done by people with good intentions. What's the only thing worse than an apocalypse is one that started with good intentions. And the one of the last lines in the Ashcan is, in an effort to save humanity, we birth its destruction. And like, it just made me think of that T.S. Eliot quote. And it gives off major I Am Legend vibes, and I'm totally here for it. I cannot wait to see where this title goes. This is just the Ashcan, so we're just getting started. I'm definitely looking into continuing to read that storyline, of course. And then, John, don't kill me if I said your main character's name wrong. I'm sorry. I should have, you know, I know you personally. I should have probably made sure I had it right before I did this episode, but I'm not even telling you that I'm doing this. We're actually talking, literally texting right before I got on to start recording, and he has no idea that I'm doing this, so this is going to be an interesting little surprise for him. He's done a lot of help. He's helped me so much, and I mean, the least I can do is do a review for his comic book that I really enjoyed. And he also, it's funny, he had 100 prints. He sent me 69 of 100. Well done, sir. Well done. That's definitely, it made me laugh when I realized that. I was like, oh, yes, this guy, I like him. So thank you, John, for sending me that. It is a great title, and I can't wait to see what you do moving forward. Just great things. All right, moving right along. Excuse me. Next up, we have Jane American, which is a one-shot printed by Source Point Press and written by my good friend Jason Douglas, another friend of the podcast. I mean, he currently has the most appearances of any guest ever on my podcast, so definitely a friend of the pod, with the interior art done by Annie Wright and lettering done by the amazing Dave Lentz, as we spoke about him a little bit before. Also, this project has the editor, Dr. Christy Blanche, who is a co-writer along with Garrett Gunn, as well as many other titles, but basically the one that I love the most from Source Point Press is Good Boy. And, you know, I've had both Garrett and Dr. Christy on the podcast as well. They are great people, and so when I see this team, it's got one of my favorite letterers, one of my favorite writers and friends, and Dr. Christy, I'm all in. This is my first experience with Annie Wright's work, and I very love to. It definitely fits the story. It's just a gorgeous. Like when you look at this book, you think of it at like you can see this as something that happened in that era. Jason was very good on making sure all that was exactly right. He even went to the old. Factory where his grandparents worked, and you know, it made it part of the book, which is amazing. The art is gorgeous. It's definitely fitting for this title. So let's get into what the book is about. Jane's life was filled with more than enough responsibility for a young girl coming of age in a wartime small town America, but family tragedy has changed her in an unbelievable ways. In ways that are better left hidden, and the economic hardship presented by the end of the war have left her with a choice. Stay safe, stay hidden, or embrace who she really is for the sake of everyone she loves. This book is absolutely fantastic. And there should be no surprise. I mean, I'm very well, possibly very biased, because I'm a big fan of Jason's work. And we actually spoke about this book on his very first appearance on the podcast. When we talked about his now Ringo nominated first release Parallel, this was everything I was hoping and waiting for since then. I think it's been like 2 years since we did that initial interview. And there's a scene in the book that we talked about on that very first episode. And it's beautiful. It is exactly what I pictured in my head when I said it. I was like, it's going to be awesome. And I wasn't wrong. And I'm glad that this book came to light. This is a very, you know, not every title that a person, even a Ringo Award nominated writer gets to have produced. Like, he went through a publishing house. He didn't go through the self-publishing route like I did. It's not easy to do what I'm doing, and it's ridiculously stressful. I mean, so many things that you don't have to deal with as a creator if you're working with a publisher. Like, I'm the one who's going out and trying to find people to do exclusive covers with. More on that later. They're, you know, getting interviews and going on places. Most, you know, the creators don't necessarily have to do that in most cases. So seeing this book get made, it's just brilliant. I'm so like, man, just wow. Like I'm reading it, it's such a very good story, but the way it was told, it's told through flashbacks and memories while the main character is walking this path that her dad, her mom, all walk to the same factory, you know, and it's told, it kind of gives off like Quentin Tarantino vibes, where it's like it's going back and forth from what we're looking at right now currently and how it got to that moment, and why this part, why this journey is so significant, why this walk is so significant. It's fantastic. There were parts where I was on the verge of tears, parts where I was smiling because of how sweet it was, and there were parts of anxiety where you see all these things happening and you know, you're just like, The other shoe's about to drop. This is about to take a dark turn fast, and it's just so well done. You get to experience such a wide spectrum of emotions in this 32-page one shot. The breadcrumbs are kind of like placed throughout the story. The backstory is kind of placed like breadcrumbs through the entire story, leading the reader to the final page where everything changes again. There was also a very, I don't like to give too much away because I want you to experience it yourself, but there is a very interesting production decision that they had. It was a big gamble, I think, and it really paid off. So every page had a black border except one. There was one page that had a white background, and it was a big moment, and the texture of the page itself even changed, and it really made that moment more significant, and it made it so, even if you were just flipping through it, you couldn't miss the significance of that moment. And I think while it was a risk, it was done magnificently. And it really did add an extra level of importance to that moment. And then it definitely leads to later on why it was such a big moment, you know. And when I felt it, I was like, what is this? And I even had to like double check and make sure it wasn't like an insert or something, you know, but no, it's part of the story, and it made you stop. Like if you were just flipping through it, the different texture will just make you go, what is this? And you have to look at that page. And it's beautiful. It was such an impactful moment and a very sweet one. And it, like I said, it just made you stop. And which is funny because I talk about all the time when I talk about Jason's stuff, you don't want to put it down. You don't want to stop. You just want to keep reading. That moment stopped me in my tracks and made me live in that specific moment for a second. And it was really nice. His way of storytelling is just very, it's like very fresh. You just, like I said, you just can't put his books down. And I definitely think Jane American is another book that is likely to gain some award nomination buzz for Jason. It's very fun, as well as emotional, and it's giving very sturdy legs to the future of this storyline. And the final page makes you super excited for the future of the story and really, really makes you want to see where it goes and what happens next. I'm very biased, so I could be just me being biased, but I'm a huge fan of Jason's work, and this is another title that definitely could be something that garners some attention from the, you know, the award committees, because it's really well done. And it's funny, both these books that I reviewed today, and it wasn't intentionally, I just happened to be the two books that I hadn't done reviews for people that I care about, you know, that I'm actually on a first name basis with, and I realized I hadn't done a review yet, and I was like, wait a minute, hold on, let me do that. So they're both female-led, and I'm very happy about that. Like, I've got some good friends. But speaking of good friends, I have a huge announcement to make. Just under a month, MegaCon will be returning to Orlando February 1st through the 4th. I am here to announce that Here Walks Monsters is going to have a MegaCon exclusive at the 305 Miami Comics booth. The cover art is done by the amazing Tina, who is part of 305, one of the co-owners. We're going to be doing a double signing, and we'll also be offering double remarks. She's a very talented artist. I am not, so we're going to collaborate to make one awesome art if you want to go that route. But yeah, it's going to be limited to 50, and there's going to be a chrome holo foil, and it's going to be the first ever Here Walks Monsters convention exclusive at 2024 MegaCon. I am so excited. This is one of my favorite conventions I have gone for the last. This is now the third year in a row that I will be attending MegaCon. The first year I attended as a fan. Second year I attended as a friend of some people who had booths and who were a part of MegaCon. And now I'm coming back as a creator year three. This journey that I've had with MegaCon, it was my first big convention I ever went to. Now it's going to be where I have my first ever convention exclusive for my own comic book. This means the world to me, and I can't thank Tina and 305 enough for bringing me along here and making this happen. I'm so glad we got to work together, and we will be doing more in the future. But make sure you stop by the 305 booth. More information about that will be available later on. But yes, Nerdtween, Kyle, myself, my own created comic, will have a MegaCon exclusive in 2024. You heard it here first on the Nerdtween and Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Nerdtween. Until next time, you stay nerdy, my friends.